Hello everyone and welcome to Crosspoint Church. Last week we finished a series on the story of Queen Esther. And well, I wouldn't have minded if that story was a little bit longer because it's such a great story and I enjoyed doing that and got some good feedback from you guys as well. So that was great. Thank you. Today we're going to focus on another sermon request that I've had, and that is the topic of fasting. Someone has asked for a sermon about fasting. Now, our main Bible passage today will be Matthew chapter 6, particularly verse 16 to 18. I'll refer to some other Bible passages as well, but if you do want to have your Bible open as we go, Matthew chapter 6 will be our main focus for today. Now, in this passage, Jesus talks about fasting. Now, in Bible times, people would often pray and fast. Nowadays, people are more likely to just pray fast. Now, that might seem like a little play on words just to make a joke, but there is actually some truth in that. I know in my own life, sometimes when we are busy, it's our prayer time and our time with God that gets pushed aside in the busyness of life. And a lot of people are busy in this life. So I guess we need to be careful not to get too busy in this life that we don't have time for Jesus. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 14 about people who were invited to this great banquet, but they were all too busy. One person said, you know, I have to go out to my new field. And one person said, I have to look after my new oxen. And another person said, I just got married. And all of them were so busy living this life that they didn't have time to worry about God's invitation, which is a sad reflection on people's priorities in life. Yeah, so don't get too busy living this life that we, you know, don't have time for Jesus. And fasting is a spiritual discipline that is designed to help us to look up, to think about God, to focus on our prayer life. Fasting can help us to prioritise our time with God by deliberately cutting out some other activities that take away our time and our focus. Now, fasting can also mean other things. You know, sometimes people fast simply for diet or health reasons, and go without food for a time. And fasting of any sort can have various benefits. It can be good for our health. It can certainly be a good way to help us learn self-discipline. Going without something for a while can certainly help us to appreciate that thing when we get it back. You know, fasting can have multiple meanings and purposes, but today we'll talk about fasting in a spiritual sense, as it's described in the Bible. And fasting is a spiritual discipline. Some people will fast as a habit, as a regular discipline. Other people fast just on special occasions or for specific purposes. So today we'll look at some examples from the Bible to find out when and why people fasted in Bible times. Now, the Bible does tell us that Jesus himself fasted for 40 days. Actually, Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1, tells us that then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Now, you might think it's funny that Matthew would make a point of mentioning that Jesus became very hungry because, well, after not eating for 40 days, of course he was hungry. So you might think, well, no kidding. But I actually think it's good that Matthew mentions that Jesus became hungry because it reminds us that Jesus was human. You know, Jesus, as a human, suffered all of the same things that we suffer from. Jesus became thirsty. He became hungry. He faced temptation. Sometimes we read that Jesus was tired and sleepy and sad and even angry. Now, we know Jesus is God. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. But for a while, he lived on earth as a human being, which is quite extraordinary. And while he was a human, Jesus made the effort to fast, which is pretty significant, and fasting clearly has some value. So while Jesus was fasting, Matthew chapter 4 continues from verse 3, it says, "During that time the devil came and said to Jesus, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" See, in the light of eternity, God's words are much more important than physical food. You know, spiritual things are more important than physical things. You know, animals live just purely on instinct. If they're hungry, They look for food and they eat food. If you have a pet cat or a pet dog, you've probably seen them at times. You show them food and they eat the food. Just, that's it. There's no wisdom, there's no restraint, there's no discernment. They just see food and eat food. As human beings, we are blessed with the ability to think. We can plan ahead. As humans, we can see a bigger picture than just our basic appetites. And as human beings, we can, or certainly should, have some self-control. So fasting is a discipline that can help us to focus more on God and less on the things of this world. And the Bible reading for today begins with the words, "When you fast." Now, earlier in Matthew chapter 6, back in verse 5, Jesus talks about prayer. And Jesus said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. And then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." So Jesus says, when you pray, Jesus assumes that his people will pray. And Jesus talks about the fact that prayer is between us and God. It's not designed to be for show or to gain attention. We can pray in private with the door closed. Or we can pray way out in a paddock when there's nobody else around. You know, God sees, God hears, God knows. That is all that matters. That was Jesus talking about prayer. And now when he gets to talking about fasting, he uses very similar words. And we read in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 16, Jesus says, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." So both times, in reference to prayer and then in reference to fasting, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites. Do not try to draw attention to yourselves. You know, the hypocrites want attention. They want recognition from other people. And if they get that, that is their reward. See, when we fast, we don't do it for attention. We should be doing it for God. Obviously, when you fast, we're doing it for ourselves as well, because we might have a particular need, an urgent prayer request, something really important on our mind, which is why we're fasting. But our focus should always be on God and not on other people. The reason we fast is so that we can focus more on God. You know, we set aside some normal activities so that the time and energy that we normally use on those activities can now be used to focus on prayer. I mentioned in the series on Queen Esther that prayer and fasting often go together. When Esther asked all the people to pray, they were in great danger. What Esther really meant was, please pray. Urgent prayer was needed. Fervent, dedicated, diligent prayer was needed. And in that case, people did pray and they fasted, and God intervened in their situation. So Jesus says, when you fast. He certainly seems to expect that fasting is something we will do, that he assumes that fasting will be part of our regular spiritual exercise. Now, fasting is obviously not something that we can do permanently, but it is something that we should consider doing at certain times. In the Bible, people would pray for specific reasons or specific occasions. And sometimes people fasted when they were in mourning, when they were grieving, you know, for the loss of a friend or a relative. But I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about in this passage, because Jesus says, you know, not to look miserable. Well, obviously, if you're grieving the loss of a friend or a relative, it's quite natural that you would look sad. So I don't think Jesus is talking about that kind of fasting. Jesus is talking about fasting when we have a particular prayer point that we are taking to God. So Jesus says, when we fast before God, there's no need to draw attention to it. Human recognition is not the point or the purpose of fasting. So let's look at some examples of fasting in the Bible. In the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 8. A group of people are about to leave to go on a journey back to Jerusalem. They've been living in exile and they're going home to Jerusalem. And Ezra chapter 8 says they fasted and earnestly prayed, asking God to take care of them on their journey. And then verse 31 says, God answered their journey. God protected them from enemies and bandits all along the way. So they were going on a journey and they prayed and they fasted. And I think that's quite normal. I mean, I'm sure plenty of us have left to go on a journey, maybe a long car trip, and you stop to pray and ask God for travelling mercies to keep you safe on the roads. Well, so did Ezra, but they prayed and they also fasted. In the book of Nehemiah, we read Nehemiah was still in exile, still living in Susa, and some visitors came to see him who had been to Jerusalem, and Nehemiah asked them how things were going in Jerusalem. And they told him things are not going well. The walls of Jerusalem had been torn down, the gates had been destroyed by fire. Things were pretty bad. And so Nehemiah heard that news, and it says he prayed and fasted for days. And then chapter 1 of Nehemiah, you can read this story for yourself, records this long prayer that Nehemiah prayed, which included praise to God and then confession of his sin, and then repentance for the sin, and then, after all that, his request. And then the rest of the book of Nehemiah describes how God enabled him to go back to Jerusalem and to organize the rebuilding of the wall and the gates, and, even more important, a spiritual renewal and revival which followed. So people prayed and fasted for safety on a journey. People prayed and fasted for God's help in fixing a problem. And people also prayed and fasted when they were in danger. That's what happened in the story of Queen Esther. And it also happened to a king of Judah, a man called Jehoshaphat. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is a great story if you want to go and read it all for yourself later. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But King Jehoshaphat was told that there was a huge army on its way to attack him. Actually, it was three separate armies that had all allied together, and they were on their way to come and attack Jerusalem. Now, the Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and he asked God for guidance, and he asked everyone in Judah to begin fasting. And then we read how King Jehoshaphat gathers the people all for public prayer. He leads them in prayer. He asks God for help. And then the Holy Spirit speaks, speaks through one of the men in the crowd there, like a word of prophecy. In verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 20, says, this was the message that God gave them through the Holy Spirit. It says, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then so the messenger tells King Jehoshaphat, you will not need to fight. All you need to do is to go out and watch the Lord's victory. So then the king leads the army out to meet the enemy, and we read from verse 21. It says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Now, as you can imagine, that's a very unusual military tactic. Normally, at the front of the army, you've got, you know, your big strong men, maybe horsemen or people with shields and spears. This time, it was just singers, maybe with some musical instruments, leading the army. So not a usual tactic. But we read they went ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. And at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. And the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every single one of them. And after they destroyed the army of Mount Seir, then they began attacking each other. So by the time the army of King Jehoshaphat, the army of Judah, arrived, well, all they saw was dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. In fact, the Bible says not a single one of the enemy had escaped. And then King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder, and they found vast amounts of equipment and clothing and other valuables, and it was more than they could carry, and it literally took them three whole days just to gather all the plunder. So, you know, start of the chapter, they're in grave danger, like vastly outnumbered by three armies. And what did they do? They prayed, they fasted, they trusted God, and God answered their prayers. God did a miracle. not only were their lives spared, they also got a whole bunch of free stuff. And then the Bible tells us they had peace for quite a while after that, because all the surrounding nations had seen how powerful God was and left them alone. So it was better than they could have hoped for, the outcome. And God was able to dramatically change their situation. See, God can do really amazing things, extraordinary things, when his people pray and fast and trust him. So when we fast, we should also pray. You know, spiritual fasting without prayer is kind of pointless. So when we fast, we should also pray to God. Now, here's a question. Does fasting automatically mean that God will give us whatever we ask for? Well, no, the answer is no, it does not. And I'll show you from the Bible. But this is actually a good thing, because we have to remember that our trust is in God. Our trust is not in our own efforts to fast, and we can't manipulate God into doing whatever we want. So our trust is always in God, not in, you know, whatever we can do. Although fasting is clearly, you know, recommended in the Bible. But here's some examples of when fasting did not, mean the people got what they wanted. 2 Samuel chapter 12. So King David had a very sick child. The Bible tells us King David begged God to spare the child. The Bible tells us he went without food. He lay on the ground, on the bare ground, just crying out to God and pleading for mercy. But after 7 days, the child died. So King David prayed and fasted. He was diligent, but the child still died. In Psalm 35, King David himself writes about what sounds like a different but maybe similar situation. King David says, "Yet when they were ill, I grieved for them. I denied myself by fasting for them, but my prayers returned unanswered." So fasting is not some, you know, magic formula that forces God to give us whatever we want. There were some other times in the Old Testament when people fasted, but God was not impressed. Several of the prophets talk about this, but Isaiah in particular, in chapter 58, Isaiah 58, makes it clear that God sees our hearts and God knows our motives. God is not fooled by a show, by putting on a show of looking religious. You know, God says in Isaiah 58 that people had been acting, they'd been pretending. And from partway through verse 3, God says, "You are fasting to please yourselves. Even though you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarrelling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me," says God. And then further down, God says that the people are just going through the motions. And then God says, "Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord?" In verse 6, "No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply." Now, the chapter goes on further, and again, you can read the whole chapter for yourself. It's a great chapter. But the point is very clear that God is not impressed by putting on a show and just going through the motions. Even if people are fasting, if it's just for show, well, that doesn't work. You know, Jesus said the hypocrites put on a show. They try to impress other people. And Jesus says we should not pray or fast like that. When I was in year 9 at high school, we had the annual sports day, and I came third in one of my races, the 400-metre race, and I finished third, and I was quite happy with that. And after the race finished, they told us to line up in finishing order and give our names to the officials and to tell them what house we were in so they could, you know, record the points to see which, you know, school house would win the sports day. But while we were in the line waiting, another boy, a bigger boy than me, came and pushed in the line just ahead of me. And so in the end, he was recorded as having finished third, and I was recorded as having finished fourth. And I've got to admit, I was pretty mad. That meant that he got the ribbon for third place, and, you know, his house got the points. And I admit, I was mad. It took me a long time, probably years, to realise that what I did mattered more than being noticed for what I did. See, I was just like the hypocrites. I wanted the ribbon. I wanted people to notice. I wanted people to know what I had done. And sometimes we can fall into that same trap with our Christian life. But Jesus said in verse 18 of today's reading that our Heavenly Father sees what is done in private. He sees even what is done in secret, and he will reward you. You know, people can't always be trusted. Probably most of us have figured that out by now. People can't always be trusted, so God should always be our focus. God should be our highest priority because we can trust in God. Now, in the New Testament, fasting was still a regular practice for God's people. The book of Acts, in several chapters, describes how people prayed and fasted at particular times when they were maybe commissioning people to go on a, you know, out and preach the gospel, or when they were choosing new leaders for a church. You know, when Paul and Barnabas went off for a missionary journey, they fasted as well as praying. And then when they chose elders for new churches that they'd planted, again, they would fast as well as praying. Now, I've been involved in churches where electing new leaders is literally an annual event sometimes. And there were certainly times when I have felt the need to pray for wisdom about how to vote. But I do not recall ever fasting on those occasions. So, in the book of Acts, maybe they were taking things a bit more seriously than we do today. And maybe that's why the church seemed a lot more effective in the book of Acts than it does sometimes today. But fasting, according to the Bible, is a spiritual discipline. You know, we can fast as a symbol of our mourning or of our repentance before God. And we can fast to seek wisdom or to seek direction from God. We can fast to seek help with a particular situation. And God does hear our prayers, but God also sees our actions. You know, the Bible says in the book of James that faith without works is dead. You know, believing without doing anything is pretty pointless. And in the same way, fasting, while still knowingly and continually disobeying God, well, it's never going to impress God, is it? Putting on a show might impress some people, but we can't fool God by doing that. God sees our heart. God knows our motives. If your fast is for spiritual reasons, then prayer is an essential component of the fast. We need to talk to God. We need to communicate with God. You know, if you decided to fast just for your health, just purely as a physical fast for your health, but then you spent the entire time, the 3 days or the week, however long it was, if you spent that whole fast time just lying on your bed, what do you think would happen? When you got to the end of the fast time, do you think you would be healthier? Well, in most circumstances, no, you would not. You might be thinner, which might help, depending on your circumstances, but I don't think you'll actually be healthier. Because to stay healthy, we need to stay active. And in exactly the same way, fasting to get closer to God is not going to work if we're not spending time talking with God and listening to God. So fasting as a means to enhance our prayer is a concept supported in the Bible. Now, fasting doesn't have to be about food. Obviously, if you're a diabetic, you need to be careful about regular food intake. So you might want to fast from TV. You can fast from different sorts of things, but so long as you are using that extra time to devote to more prayer. When we think about fasting, we do often associate that with food, and therefore we associate fasting with hunger, which leads me to another question. What is it that we hunger for? What do people hunger and thirst for? Do we hunger for God and for his will and for his kingdom? Or do we hunger for compliments from other people? or, you know, some of the things of this world? What is our truly deepest desire? What is it that we dream of? Is it wealth or power or, you know, fame or just security? What do we hunger and thirst for? You know, Psalm 42 verse 1 says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God." And sometimes I wonder if that's true for the modern church. Is our desire for the temporary things of this world, or is our desire for the things of God? Because we need to live for God. Don't live for the things of this world. Don't live for the praise of other people. You know, you live for God's words because they are thirst-quenching. They are life-giving. God's words can satisfy and replenish our thirsty souls. You know, in today's reading, Jesus says, "When you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I'll tell you the truth, that's the only reward they'll ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, and then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." So the points for today that I'm hoping that you'll remember: do not get too busy to pray or too busy to fast. And when you fast, our motives are important. We don't need to tell anyone else. We don't need to make a fuss about it. Just spend the time focusing on God. And when we fast, we should also pray. You know, fasting can help us to sharpen our focus, to fix our priorities. And when we fast, we should trust God. God has the answers we're looking for. Verse 18 of today's reading said, "Your heavenly Father will reward you." And it is God. God is the one who hears our prayers. God is the one who answers our prayers. God is the one who can provide the safety, the healing, the wisdom, you know, the solution to whatever our problem is that we are taking to him in prayer. So when we fast, we should talk to God, we should live for God, and we should trust in God. Let me just summarize that again. When we fast, we should talk to God, live for God, and trust in God. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us. I hope that's been helpful, and God bless you all.